Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hanging out with you. Again, it's not hump day. It is just Wednesday.
No, it's hump day.
It's just a regular day.
I think it's hump day. I feel good about it.
Looks like you missed your cue, Dylan.
I was worried about not having the energy today after, you know, sleeping just about, you know, 30 feet away from here a couple nights ago. But, man, I feel good. I think the entire city, hopefully, is still riding that wave just a little bit. Bo told me it's time to move on. I said, no. That's the
Before
beauty of
say
not
anything.
Being in the locker room anymore. I don't have to move on. I can enjoy this for a little bit. I don't have to focus on Kansas City.
When Sandra walked in yesterday to do the steakhouse, I said to her, she said, first of all, something about how the whole station feels on the heels of the Falcons win. And I said, in particular, Bo, his entire mood is dictated on wins and losses. And it was, I've never seen you happier than I saw you on Monday. It was
Tuesday.
It was a little bit unnerving.
It's hump day, Tiff. It's hump day, so yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
or whatever.
Well,
you know,
so look, I think everybody knows that I'm an even keel guy, and you know, I don't show my emotions very often.
There's some sort of buzzer music you have, Dylan.
Reality is those are look. I love what I do, and I've covered a team that I grew up being a fan of, and I'm invested as much as you can be invested, and.
I need you to stop because I don't think people understand how rare that is in sports radio that you actually cover a team that you grew up rooting for in the city of Atlanta. Man, that's not that there's not many people like that. And I think that shouts out to you, to Dylon and whoever else, but you just look, I mean, granted, I got drafted to the Falcons. I can't honestly say I grew up as a Falcons fan. It is few and far between. So I want to make sure I highlight that.
But to take it a step further, yes, I do work with them in a certain capacity as, you know, doing the radio. I do travel with that party. I'm there for the hot days of summer, and I'm there for every travel trip and every game. I have to take time out of my day. I don't have to, but I do. I take time out of my life, and I'm with that team. I'm on the plane. I'm on the buses. So I understand what goes into it, and I understand – all of those things, I have relationships with the people that are on the field and not just playing, but coaching and that are behind the scenes. So when we win a game, or they win a game, I win a game. And it's not just the fantasy other part. And it does dictate, but it also makes my job easier, right? I enjoy, right. I love what I do, and it makes it a lot easier, to your point. So it makes me happy to be able to talk about my team being a team I also grew up hating in a city that is one of the hardest places to play in.
Nothing makes you happier than hate.
Yeah, that's right. Hate fuels me. I hate to break it to y'all. But yes, it puts me in a good mood. And then to talk about it, like, I also see the misery that other fans in the city have gone through. Therefore, when we win a game, you win the game, and you have 24 hours to talk as much as you want. If people can get online and trash a team for every little thing they don't like and every misstep that they make and bash them, then the people that want to cheer for the team can get on here and gloat for 24. I had a guy yesterday try to tell me, well, you know, act like you've been here before. You won one game. And I go, I'm sorry. So you think people can crush the team, but we can't enjoy it. I want to enjoy wins because we don't get a lot of them. You know, not a lot of teams get to do what Kansas City's doing or what New England did.
Yeah.
So in the Pittsburgh Steelers, those organizations, they're few and far between, right? So enjoy every freaking win. I do believe in moving on, but you're right, Tiffany. Nothing makes me happier than a win in prime time against Philadelphia.
I do believe that a lot of times, and I think it's more this way in colleges, but it is this way with NFL cities as well. I think when your college that you go to, when those teams are successful, I think that school and that alumni base takes on that personality. I think you see it at Georgia right now. So I think the city of Atlanta becomes like that as well when their sports teams are good. There's just a different vibe around town, man. I honestly believe that, 100%.
People walking around with an extra pep in their step. The Falcons probably not enjoying it as much anymore because they have a short week and a game to get ready for. But still, the impact of the win being felt. And here's Coach Raheem Morris on what the effect is.
For me, it's not as emotionally driven as it is for some of the players. But for some of the players, it pumps more belief in them. You know, for us, we go around saying it all the time. But when players actually go out and execute it and do it, it's just something for those guys that just creates this energy for those guys to be able to get out there knowing that they can do anything at any time like they proved last night. For us, I kind of walk around with that kind of belief that they can do it at all times. But when they can go out there and actually show it to themselves and do it for themselves, I think that's just a little bit more special when those guys go do it together and how they wanted to do it last night.
The term there, belief, man, that echoes so hard as far as being in those locker rooms. And what football players are asked to do in any given day or any given practice, it's hard, right? And I think when you lack success after going through some of the things you go through, you start to ask yourself why you are doing it as hard as you are. And it's a long season. You're not going to get to that point for at least another couple of weeks. But when you look at the fruits of your labor being success, and being able to, you know, be on primetime television and knock off a good team in 2 minutes, that gives you more belief that what you are doing and the work you're putting in is actually worth something in the eyes of your coaches, of your teammates, of your fan base, and everything else. So I love the term belief right there because I think it is such a sticking point when you look at driving the work forward that this team is being asked to do every day.
Yeah, I mean, especially now that you're going into kind of an early gauntlet, right? You're going to get the Chiefs on Sunday night. Then you start with your NFC South games against teams that, you know, I know you've talked about this, don't look too bad right now.
No,
especially when you talk about the Bucs.
You know, this is supposed to be the worst division in football once again, and the Saints have looked like an offensive powerhouse, especially up front. Tampa Bay looks like the team we saw play Detroit in
another playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they went back up there and this time they got it done, right? So they look like they've stepped back in. Baker Mayfield looks like he's a top 10, 12 quarterback right now. So it doesn't look easy and you have those teams lined up. You have three straight division games lined up when you get done with, I don't know, the reigning, defending, undisputed three out of the last four or whatever Super Bowl champions. And the best player in the NFL, and one of the best tight ends in the NFL, and oh my bad, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. And so, and look, this Kansas City defense is legit. This is the third defense in a row that you're going to face that can get the job done.
Well, I'm glad you brought up KC again in that capacity because it is going to be a tough matchup. And it's going to be a tough matchup that comes on a short week after the Monday night game. Here's Raheem Morris.
That's just normal business for us when you play on Monday night, when you play these night games. I know we had not as used to them around here the last couple of years, but when you want to play these big moments and these big-time games, this is what happens. And you got to be able to turn the page pretty quickly. You got to be able to evaluate. You got to be able to assess what happened the night before. Go find out what you can get better, do some of those type of different things, and then start to look at your new opponent that's coming up this week at the Kansas City Chiefs because you better be ready for those guys.
The Chiefs present problems for anyone.
I ain't scared.
But I also, but you know what? I see areas that you've struggled in and that I think you can kind of right some wrongs. One of which is the run defense has looked kind of bad the first 2 weeks. I mean, you're right now, you're 27th in run defense. You're giving up 161 yards a game. However, how much of that has been from, like, Jalen Hurts had 85 yards Monday night, and I think Justin Fields had over 60 himself, right? So that helps. And then I look at the other side of the ball, and Mike, you know all about this one. You're 30th in third down offense right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to face a defense that is 21st in third down defense. So you have a chance to take two areas that you've been not very good in and improve on. And I think that's what I'm trying to say is that's you're going to have to find a different way to win this week.
Yeah, and I think the two most glaring things when you look at what Atlanta is offensively. Now granted, you need to score more. And I think that's the easiest thing to say. But let's break that down further. You have to sustain drives. We've been talking about the third down percentage since the beginning of the preseason. And we said the whole time, well, it's preseason. But I mean, ugly, ugly numbers in preseason. I'm talking about like 1 of 12, 1 of 13 in preseason games. So it just goes further into that when you're talking about that. And also red zone offense. When you get in to the red zone, you have to be able to find pay dirt. It's been a struggle for this team so far.
If you want to improve third down offense, be better on first and second.
Can a bye week cure all? Well, we'll have to wait and see about that with the Georgia Dogs. Lots of injury news on that front. We'll be right back with some college football just ahead on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for some college football, and for the Georgia Dogs, some tough news going into their bye week. Star offensive lineman Tate Ratledge, he'll miss multiple weeks after undergoing tightrope surgery on his ankle. So Coach Kirby Smart announced this. He's a, former first-team All-SEC guard, and he suffered an MCL and sprained ankle during that win over Kentucky.
So. Yeah, Georgia fans are familiar with it. The tight rope surgery, Tiff, because Brock Bowers had hit, I believe, last year.
Yeah. I think Lawson Lucky did, too.
Yeah.
At some point.
Look, there's some big name guys. Aaron Donald's also had this tight rope surgery. He's obviously one of their better players. They kind of struggled up front, I thought, physically. I thought Kentucky did a good job on both sides of the line of scrimmage against Georgia. But, Mike, I don't know how this will hamper a guy like Tate Ratledge. I think you might, and you can talk about it, but to me, I would like to see him sit as long as he needs to. Obviously, he'll be out for a while, but sit as long as he needs to because this is a guy you need in November.
Yeah, he's the leader in a lot of different ways up front, and when you look at some of the stats that come out of this Georgia-Kentucky game, I would say that I think a lot of fans, Georgia fans, would agree with this. I think Kentucky was more physical than you expected. You had, what, 9 penalties, I think. You weren't great on third down with a guy that is considered the best quarterback in college football by a lot of people. And a lot of that had to do with that offensive line up front. The tackles struggled in certain situations. They were not able to run the ball effectively down in and down out, and they couldn't sustain. Here's what I'll tell you about the Tate Ratledge tightrope. For anybody that doesn't understand high ankle sprains, all right, when that happens, your two bones in your lower leg, your tibia and your fibula, they separate, all right? And one of the longest processes about the rehab for this is you wait on those ligaments to kind of tighten back up, right, to secure those two bones to your foot. This tightrope procedure, it just makes it happen a lot faster. They basically go in with a metal rope, they put it through your bones, they tighten it up, and they allow those ligaments to kind of heal in place while your foot structure is sound, and that makes it a lot quicker. It's like cuts it in half as far as the rehab time goes to be back to 100%. So he is going to be missed. I think the bright side for Georgia fans, if you're looking at this, this would have been a detrimental injury with a game coming up to Alabama. Both Alabama and Georgia have to look at this as there's a 12-team playoff this year. This is not going to make or break your season the way it would have, you know, 10 years ago or even a couple of years ago. You go in and do and get done whatever you need to and continue to build on things. But I think it is a massive injury for Georgia up front because he is that guy. When he is 100%, he's the leader, he's the physicality, he brings that attitude. And obviously, they sorely missed it near the end of that game last weekend.
Let's get you some NIL news. Schools in Georgia have legal cover to immediately begin paying their athletes directly. This comes from the governor, who signed an order that prohibits the NCAA or athletic conferences from punishing any university or college in Georgia for offering compensation or compensating an intercollegiate student athlete for the use of such student athletes' NIL.
So this is similar to what Virginia did recently, the state of Virginia, in July.
Yep, Virginia and Virginia Tech can both, yeah.
Yeah, Virginia Tech have not discussed publicly their plans. Basically, from what I have read, is that Georgia and Georgia Tech have no plans to pay players out of school money, right? It's still going to be NIL stuff. But what this does, and the reason why, you know, they're happy with the Governor Kemp for doing this, and why Virginia Tech are happy with, I don't know Virginia's governor, but the reason they're happy is because if other schools around the country started directly paying these players, Georgia could say, hey, we can do that too.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, that goes back to the article. This is coming from ESPN. So sources told ESPN that neither Georgia Tech, the two power conference schools in the state, have plans to start paying players immediately. But as Boach just said, instead the executive order gives them the option to pay players if other schools around the county start to do so. Now, a statement did come from Georgia Tech, and this is from the athletic director, Josh Brooks, and he thanked the governor. He said, we extend our sincere gratitude for his leadership today. So he said, in the absence of nationwide image and likeness regulation, this executive order helps our institutions with the necessary tools to fully support our student athletes in the pursuit of NIL opportunities. They remain competitive with our peers and secure the long-term success of our athletic program. I think that's the important part, remaining competitive with your peers.
It's a cover-your-ass bill that the state and the major athletic directors in this state got together, and it's a cover-your-ass bill. Just in case.
Well, I think that the other thing to take away, and I don't know if you guys saw the headline yesterday with Tennessee adding the talent fee on the back of their tickets starting next year. I mean, that's what it's for, right? Why do you do that? So that you can pay your players from your university. Now, I don't know how I feel about actually tagging it with a talent fee on the actual ticket. Like, you could just raise ticket prices and it could just be a talent fee. I don't know that you need to actually make it public. Well, here's your talent fee. But it is what it is. I don't know. I'm sitting in a different chair, I guess, than most, where I look at it and I'm like, I don't want to pay the talent fee. You know what I mean?
No. Well, it's the end of it's. It, look, if, as soon as this bill has to be used, as soon as Georgia Tech has to use the luxury of this bill, college athletics is dead.
Well, you just wonder, with all the money being generated, how everything can be spread about throughout possibly other sports or even staff-wise. I saw some interesting tweets going out from people who are SIDs, sports information directors, for those of you who don't know the word. It's kind of like PR, like in the NFL world or in a professional world. And so a lot of those people are kind of raising questions of, all right, am I, you know, going to get paid a little bit better now? So it's really interesting to see how all this is
That's a really good question. I would be interested to see if there is, with this bill and everything else going on, if there is a floor or if there is a standard income for these athletes all across the board. With it being tickets and you paying a talent fee, I wonder if that opens up a floodgate of paying those guys that are playing in those games where the talent fee is being paid to pay them more money. I think that would be one of the biggest questions I have as well as we move forward throughout this process.
All right, let's look at some matchups that we have coming ahead over the weekend. And so you've got Tennessee and Oklahoma, number 6 Tennessee, that is, and number 15 Oklahoma. So this is SEC play now beginning for the Sooners.
Yeah, it is. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I've been presented this question a lot the last 2 days. Oh, Georgia and Alabama play in 2 weeks. It's a matchup of the SEC's best two teams. I'm not sure that it is. And I think that Texas has a lot to do with that. And I think this Tennessee team has a lot to do with that. Man, they are terrifying. When you look at Nico, the quarterback, and you look at the physicality they are playing with right now in the run game, rolling up almost 500 yards rushing, and granted, I know it was against an awful team, but you look around the other teams in the SEC that played not great teams last weekend, and they struggled at times. So Tennessee, terrifying to me. If you're a Georgia fan, if you're an Alabama fan, if you just simply want your team to win the SEC, they are such a dark horse contender for being one of the best teams in the country.
And on the other side, real quick about Oklahoma, they're not terrifying right now. Offensively, they are struggling with the first-year starter, Jackson Arnold. Look, the best thing about this game for Oklahoma is that it's in Norman, because you get a little bit of a, hey, we have a good home field advantage too. I know that Tennessee plays in one, but, you know, coming here to Norman, this is one of the better atmospheres to play in college football. That's it. That's your golden goose right now, because Oklahoma has struggled mightily so far to start this season. They just don't look like the team they did last year.
You said your golden goose. Also of note, Georgia State on a bye week. They come back and they will get Georgia Southern. So gross if you went there. My apologies to you. Georgia Tech is at number 19.
Shots fired.
Louisville. So I guess some people are calling this a hidden gem on the schedule. So Louisville beat Tech 39-34 last season. Of course, the Cardinals have a really potent rushing attack too. So
yeah, that's a huge game. That's a huge ACC game, because that game could end up maybe deciding down the road who plays in that ACC championship game, because you're going to see where the way this playoff's going to play out. If Georgia Tech or Louisville get to the ACC championship game with one loss or less, you could see them as having a chance to make it in the college football playoff, regardless of what happens in that ACC championship game. Pay attention to those things.
Yeah, hidden gem. And then you've got Nebraska and Illinois, and will Dylan Raiola continue to be Patrick Mahomes? No, I'm just kidding.
He's going to continue to be his clone,
he's going to continue to creepily try to look more like him.
Yeah,
it's a little bit weird. I'll be honest with you, but
maybe he always looked like that. No, I don't know.
No. It's not the look. It's the mannerisms. It's the pregame. It's everything.
The haircut.
It looks like he studied him.
The sunglasses. The clothes.
It's just a little bit interesting. But I will
say
this:
3-0 in the season.
Yeah,
so
I will say Nebraska and both these teams, honestly. But Nebraska is one of the sneakiest best teams in the country. And obviously, you know, going through what they've been through and trying to get back to where they're at, Dylan Raiola is a massive part of that. He has delivered on the promise that he had coming out of high school. I love what Matt Rhule has done with this program. They look exciting, and they're not winning games by just crazy stuff. They are bludgeoning people.
Well, you want to talk about schools that could sneak their way to the top, Tiff. I mean, you win this game against, I think, a good Illinois team at this point. Then you have Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, at Ohio State, and then UCLA, and then your next big game would be at USC. So what I'm saying is the schedule sets up well.
It does.
That you can start gaining momentum. Even a loss at Ohio State wouldn't derail your season.
USC at Michigan. So
this is weird in so many ways.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Is USC
right
as good as we think they were after beating LSU? And is Michigan as bad as we think they are after getting demolished by Texas?
Yeah. Well, and also, when you look at just the fact that this is now a conference, let's just call it a rivalry, with everything else going on, it just makes absolutely no sense to me. This is one of the things I've hated about realignment. But it is cool that we get this style of game in the middle of September, right? So I guess that's one of the perks to it. A couple of blue bloods in the country in terms of college football will square up. And I'm with you, man. A lot of questions, I think. We'll start really understanding with a sample size of four games moving forward what these teams actually are.
Then you got Utah and Oklahoma State, and it looks like the plan is for Cam Rising, their quarterback, to start this week. So this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Up next, we'll get you caught up on the Braves. And I was really wanted to say something cheesy, but then I stopped myself.
Or maybe corny.
It would have been pretty corny. But the latest on the WNBA in our own backyard, I didn't want to lay myself out there. It's coming up in a TV's timeout. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I wanted to say something like, you know, dreaming, but then that's like, nah, you can't do that. Can't do it. We'll be back. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Not good news when it comes to your Braves, who lost a 4-run lead and ended up falling to the Reds 6-5, despite what? Big homers from Michael Harris, Money Mike, and Matt Olson. So, not good when you lose the lead, obviously.
I'd love to know, and I know, you know, we talked a little bit about the Eagles at one point being like 99.3% you know, chances of victory on Monday night. I'd love to know what the Braves' chances of victory were when you knock out a starter in the second inning and you have two home runs and you're up 3-0 at one point, just off the rip. It blows my mind when you look at the amount of pitchers that a team like the Reds had to run through in that game, and the fact that you had so many men left on base, you couldn't come up with clutch hits even though you were hitting the ball over the place. You just couldn't simply drive runners in, it felt like, after the first inning, man. It's just maddening to watch, bottom line. And it just, I know that there's injuries, and Albie starts the rehab assignment yesterday, and that's all good and great, but goodness gracious, man. Even guys like Marcelo Zuna right now just cannot seem to buy an RBI. It's been weeks since we've seen Marcelo Zuna knock somebody in.
They are two games behind now, the New York Mets, for third in the final NL wildcard spot.
Yeah, I was going to say Ozuna is sitting on like 37-99, I think. And you're just like, come on, man. Get there. Get to 40-100 at least. At least, you know, get you another 40-100 season. Look. They are two games out from the Mets and the Diamondbacks, as you said. The Diamondbacks aren't playing great, neither are you, but you got to pick it up. You still have that three-game set with the Mets coming up once you finish this six-game road trip. I guess you would say, I was going to say road stand, but it's road trip because it's a homestand road trip. You got to get tread water and get Ozzie back, and then maybe you might have a shot to still sneak your way in. It just does not look very good right now.
Do you think this team has what it takes to make a final push?
Yeah, because I think you have the starting pitching, and I think you have the bullpen. And I know that last night didn't look that way, but you know, you had to throw Grant Holmes out there for four. The bullpen has been taxed a little bit lately. You have the starting pitching. I think if you could just get a little bit of offense, just a little bit, just find somebody. You know, one of the stand-in players, I hate to say that word, but one of these guys that's had to step up and fill in for an injury, if one of these guys could get hot and stick with the other, because Matt Olson's been playing well lately, you could sneak your way in with the pitching.
Mike was shaking his head.
Well, it's just frustrating because I look at what you have to win in these instances. We've said it a number of times. I think Michael Harris has to be a catalyst. I think Matt Olson has to be a catalyst. And so for them to do what they did early in the game, and Grant Holmes wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. And it just has to be more well-rounded than that. You have to find ways when you get runners on second, runners on third, to drive them home. And you just cannot have the lack of clutch hitting you had in this game, and you can't have the collapse by guys like Pierce Johnson down the stretch. Jesse Chavez as well, man. You have to find – the starting pitcher's been great. The bullpen's been great. But, man, over the last week, it just seems like these guys continue to struggle. And when you're not driving runners in when you have the chance – I don't know what that leads to down the stretch.
Michael Harris had a similar thing to say, too. And he was talking about missed opportunities. So, yeah.
That's frustrating. And
okay, we have it. Let's go.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I feel like the other team still has a factor in it and putting good swings on the ball and doing what they need to. So it's not necessarily just us losing the game completely, but the other team's doing their job as well.
And he's doing such a good job right now of hitting bad pitches. The home run he hit, 91, right down the middle. And he turns on that thing and hits it a mile. So it's just, like I said, man, you look at baseball is such a frustrating sport because you look at things you have to have, right? You have to have. And so many times you haven't gotten those throughout the first, you know, three quarters, five, six of the season from Matt Olson, Michael Harris with the injuries, some other places. And yet here we are getting those things and you still find a way to lose the game last night in a game that you absolutely had to have. So it just, I don't know, man. I bang my head on the wall sometimes over this team.
Let's hit a TB's timeout. Wanted to take some time for the WNBA because the Atlanta Dream, they beat the Chicago Sky 86-70. So, and with that win, they moved to an eighth playoff spot with just one game left. So they broke a three-way tie with Chicago and Washington. By the way, the Mystics, they lost to New York on Tuesday. So, and in this win, Tina Charles continues to do Tina Charles things. She had 16 points and 14 boards. So she tied a WNBA double-double record. Over the course of her career, she has 193. That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Look, the Dream look in a good spot. I think tomorrow is the final date of the regular season for the WNBA. Playoffs, I think, start maybe the 22nd. I could be wrong. Caitlin Clark has set the single season assist record. Asia Wilson actually just topped Angel Reese's rebound record for the season. Asia Wilson is going to walk away with the MVP award.
Hands down, yeah.
So it's been, in a lot of ways, an historic season for the WNBA with the rookies that came in that meshed with some already stars of the league. Diana Taurasi is kind of nearing the back end of her career, so it's kind of a change in the guard in some ways. But Asia Wilson has been freaking ridiculously dominant. They seem to be like they've gotten their stuff together for a postseason run. I think the Liberty are going to be the top seed.
Yeah, and you just have to hope that Atlanta can, what, they close out the season. It will be Atlanta at New York, Chicago at Connecticut, and Indiana at Washington. So this is all in the Thursday regular season finale. So you hope that they can make a push and keep that spot and get in. But yeah, I would say overall this year has been great for the WNBA, and getting to cover a couple games this season over at CBS was phenomenal. They're both Caitlin Clark games. I think I had a Dallas Wings game as well. But just seeing again just how the game was elevated and how much of an impact these rookies came in and made. And I think it also showed too a veteran like Asia Wilson
She's just been dominant.
And I liked how when they weren't winning, I don't know if you saw this on social media, but she was just like, no more fashion shows, walking into the building and wearing white t-shirts. Like, white t-shirts are about
respect.
That business.
I love that, man. Yeah, I love that. Wish somebody would have told Rary McLeod that the other day. I know that it's so funny, man.
Yeah, but
I'm down with that.
Yeah, but he had good meaning behind it about, his dad and everything.
It was a cool story. I heard that.
The thing
still don't know if I agree with it, but it was a much better meaning than I thought it would be.
I will say it's funny because this whole fashion thing of what you wear into stadiums has just taken off the last 5 years, it feels like. It's just become such a thing. It's just kind of funny.
Short week for the Atlanta Falcons. The Chiefs are on deck for Sunday Night Football. What's the game plan? We'll hear from Coach next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.